This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum, the Scandinavian Tobacco Group, Lane Limited, and thecountrysquireonline.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, dude.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. This has been a fun day. It's been kind of a sleepy day around the Country Squire, but man, it's been a lot of fun. We've had just a good crew of folks in here hanging out, and the weather's pretty, so the doors have been opened, and man, we're just puffing on pipes and enjoying life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's going on with you?
Oh, man. So I got to do something this morning that I have wanted to do for the last 3 years, and that is take my daughter fishing.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, that's great.
Look, so we've had...
Congratulations, that's really cool.
Yeah, thank you so much. So she's on, you know, they've got spring break, and, you know, she's only in her young years, but they still take a spring break.
I was about to say, someone that age gets spring break?
It's for the teachers.
I feel like I should get... Yeah, okay.
You know, I mean, that's really what it comes to. I always, you know, I kind of scoff when they said there was spring break. I was like, really? Really? I mean, the age group is like one to four. How is that, you know?
What are they breaking from? Nap time?
I guess.
Like, are they breaking from apple juice and animal crackers?
Yeah. Well, no, I've tried to kind of plan ahead and make sure that I'd be able to spend this good time with her and everything.
Well, that's good.
We went out actually to the local reservoir and fished, and she chased some of the geese around, which was a lot of fun. But the thing is, man, we originally went to go to Mayor's Lake, which is right by here.
Yeah, right down the street.
And also it's kind of has an offshoot into the Pearl River. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is right now we've just had all of this crazy rain and all of these flash floods. And right now, man, the Pearl River is crazy flooded.
Yeah, it's super high.
And we've actually, it's interesting, we've gotten some tweets in from some different folks, especially down in Louisiana, checking in, making sure things are all right. Because, you know, the Pearl River flooding, that's not a foreign concept to the Country Squire.
It's really not. You know, it's funny, you know, being someone that was born in the 80s, I'm not as familiar with, you know, the flood as someone that lived through it. But, you know, our owner, Kim Owen, she's really, really sensitive when it rains because our whole shop was underwater in 1979.
Like literally the lines are up on the wall.
Yeah, the lines are on the wall. It's kind of this neat historic thing you can look on our wall, and someday we'll take another photo of it. You can see it online, I think, on our website, but on the Country Squire's website. But there's actually the watermark is there where you can see kind of where the water came to.
Like literally we would be covered up in water.
Yeah,
we'd
be underwater right
now.
It's
insane.
Yeah. Now part of that's just because Bo and I are short, but I mean we are both at least 5.5 feet tall, so
right.
Which says something. So but yeah, you know, so we've gotten a lot of rain, and yeah, the water's been creeping up. We've been keeping an eye on it, but so far it looks like we're gonna be okay.
Yeah, that's
so
good. All right, there was some concern, you know, there was, you know, as somebody asked, has there been looting, and I didn't get a chance to respond back, but I would say, well, I tried, but John David shut me down before I could get to the tobacco.
Bo opened up all the tin tobacco and smoked one bowl and then put it back and no one ever noticed.
Hey, you know, the last couple of weeks we've been teasing it out, and you know, we've got the Chicago Pipe Show coming up here soon, and yes, in fact, John David and I will be there. Country Squire Radio will be well represented at Chicago this year, which we're
so excited, man.
Super excited about.
Golly, I can't wait.
You know, we've said there's not a whole lot that we can talk to about that. I can tease out a little something today. I got approval
to
tease out something.
That's right.
And that's to let you know that we are coming, and to, you know, as brought to you by Country Squire Radio, will be brought to the Chicago Pipe Show by an upcoming unique community for pipe smokers.
That's right.
And that's all I can say right now.
And that's it.
That's it.
And you're just kind of chew on that a little bit.
Yeah, just chew on that for right now.
But this upcoming community is going to be an exciting thing. We look forward to talking about it more down the road. But man, the great thing is we've you know, been it's been a lot of fun to collaborate with them, and we're looking forward to
it. And that's all we can say.
And that's literally
all we can say. Other than we hope to see you guys in Chicago. We'll have more information as we get closer. Man, I'm so stoked about
the Windy City, man. I think I've mentioned this before. I've never been to Chicago, and man, just really look forward to it. Really look forward to getting up there, and hope we get to, I don't know, troop around a little bit and just kind of see some of the sights.
Yeah.
Fun.
You know what I'm looking forward to?
What?
Tonight's episode.
Okay. Wonder why.
Well, you know, we're doing, as we have done several times over, a Squire Select. And if you've never tuned in for a Squire Select before, we essentially take various things, typically bourbon and whiskey, and pair them with pipe tobacco.
What kind of, but the brown water kind of seems to be a reasonable, regular thing to pair with tobacco.
You know,
just kind of it makes sense to pair it with tobacco. So we've done other things before.
Gin, coffee at one point.
Coffee. We did wine.
Wine.
Before,
tea.
Which is fun. But,
now somebody actually suggested we do Girl Scout cookies.
We, that,
that was probably a missed opportunity because you had like stacks of Girl Scout cookies.
I'm just saying I bought about half of that stack.
Is that right?
So we have the inventory to do it with. So, I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, a Thin Mint maybe going with Captain Cool from McClellan. I'm just saying we could try this.
We'll have to. Yeah, this episode.
It'd be very shameless,
select,
right?
Brought to you by Little Susie. Sign up for Little Susie.
the Girl Scouts of America and Little Susie.
Right. I'm sure the Girl Scouts of America would be thrilled that
support. Yeah, we're pubbing their cookies, but you know you're supporting pipe tobacco. That's great.
Yeah.
It's all for the kids.
No, that's great. Well, look, but tonight this one's definitely not for the kids because we are talking about whiskey.
We are going back. Kind of the roots, and we've got a couple of really good ones tonight. I'm excited about these, and both of these were recommended by really good friends of the show, which we're really fired up about. But the first one, Bo, I want to mention is got this. I have never in my life had something referred to as wheat whiskey.
Yeah, this is a new term to me.
I didn't even know this was a thing. Like, it just kind of shows you my ignorance. Maybe if you're a whiskey, bourbon, a liquor aficionado out there, you may be super familiar with this. But this is called Bernheim's Original Kentucky Straight Wheat Whiskey. It's small batch, 7 years aged. It's a 90 proof whiskey, and man, it's just in this beautiful bottle. It's a real simple look. It's kind of got a nice. Maple syrup color to it, just real pretty. And, it has a wax on top of it. So it's one of those that when you open it, you kind of have to fight with it a little bit. To kind of open the wax. But, I'll just kind of read the label here. Bernheim Original Kentucky Straight Wheat Whiskey, represents the first truly new American whiskey style to be introduced since Prohibition, thanks to the genius of our master distillers.
Huh.
While other whiskeys contain primarily corn, barley or rye in their recipes, Bernheim is the only type of straight whiskey which uses the soft winter wheat, which is, obviously fascinating. You think of bourbon, this is more corn-based, and this is going to be wheat-based. So the result is a full-bodied, sweet, yet smooth whiskey that is produced in small batches and aged for 7 years in traditional open rickhouses. A rickhouse just being kind of, think about the traditional kind of barn-style structure that you would have all these barrels sitting in.
It's a rick. Bum, bum, bum,
house. Yeah. That's all you get tonight.
Yeah, right. I'm surprised you went with me on it.
I played along. So, this is really good whiskey. I want to let you try some, and then we've got a pairing as is tradition.
You mentioned, of course, the four components that are often found in whiskey and bourbon in particular. This being a Kentucky whiskey, you generally think of Kentucky and whiskey, and you think of bourbon.
Right.
The terminology does require a certain amount of corn to any other component to be considered a bourbon.
That's right.
This being a wheat whiskey does not meet that requirement.
Does not. That's right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Nope.
You're not a fan.
Nope. That's so odd to me because I love wheat. Mm. Yeah. I love wheat beers.
Yeah.
And I love bourbon.
Yeah.
This seems like a weird, this seems unnatural.
Well, it's really different. I actually am quite fond of it. I as soon as I tried it, kind of in preparation for this show tonight, I was really pleased with it. There's an airiness about this that is just really pleasing to me. When you drink bourbon, something that's got more of that corn, there's just that kind of a bite that, it's a pleasant bite, but it's definitely a bite. And this is so much more mild. I read online just some other folks getting notes of like wheat toast. You've got vanilla, the wood and kind of a grain flavor that's there. But it's a very light kind of airy flavor. So, it's funny the description that Bernheim actually puts forth themselves. They talk about full bodied, and I don't get full bodied at all. I get really kind of mild and light and airy with just kind of a semi sweetness to it, which I thought was interesting. But yeah, this is not doing it for your palate.
It's interesting. I've been instructed on how to appropriately drink whiskey, or at least taste whiskey.
Yeah,
and the idea is that you're supposed to put a little bit on your tongue first.
Yeah,
in order to kind of that first taste is essentially just a wash. It's allow your mouth to get kind of accustomed to the sensation that it's about to get. And then your next drink, you're going to swirl it around a little bit and really try to, appreciate all of
the different. Chew it more. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, something to that effect.
Yeah.
Really trying to pull out the different elements that are there. Is it dry? Is it sweet? Is it, what do you enjoy about it? And I got to tell you, man, I definitely pull out the wheatness of it.
Yeah.
You mentioned the toast, and that's interesting. I thought that exact same thing while I was drinking it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, I associate wheat, honestly, with kind of a freshness, especially with wheat beers. And I associate bourbon with a good kick, a good punch to it.
That's right.
And, this, I don't know, for whatever reason doesn't do it, but you enjoy it, and that's good.
I actually really liked it. It's one of those that I think would be a good change up, for you. And if you're not a big bourbon drinker because you're, you know, real averse to that bite.
Yeah.
I think that this might be a good way for you to get into the whiskey, you know, kind of dark liquor world that, you know, might be a good fit for you. So,
Anyway. You know, it's not about the whiskey, it's about the pairing. So
it's about the pairing.
What did you, take here to, you know, what was your approach when going to this? Were you looking for a compliment, a contrast? Or?
I went with a compliment on this one.
Yeah.
And both of the ones tonight are going to be compliments. And I thought with the Bernheim, being a wheat, it's just got a real, kind of a light, airy flavor. It's all natural. You know, you don't get lots and lots of loaded up, you know, sugar or caramel or any of that kind of stuff,
right.
But it's still just a real natural kind of grassy flavor. And even online, when you read a lot of reviews, you read a lot of folks saying kind of like a meadow and grassy and things like that. So, I'm pairing it up with one of our house blends here at the Country Squire, a blend that I've talked about quite a bit. And this is, Merryweather. Merryweather is one of our house blends that we've sold for a really long time. And it's one of those that, you know, if you're a Virginia tobacco smoker, you're just going to immediately take to, because it's a blend of Virginias. You've got, you know, some stove stuff in there and, light and, more mid-colored, you know, blends as far as Virginias go. But, it's just really easy to smoke. It's one of those that is a good kind of any time of the day smoke and really, really easy on your palate. So it's not really sweet. You get natural sweetness there, but it is more of that airy kind of grassy flavor. And it's one of those few tobaccos that I keep personally at home myself in bulk. So, just really good.
How long have y'all had Merryweather?
Man, it's been Merryweather. It's one of those recipes is really old. We've sold Merryweather for at least 30 years. I mean, it's gone way back. I've actually found, if you order tobacco from the Country Squire, each tobacco bag that you get has been hand stamped. With a stamp that we have here at the Squire. It's kind of one of our unique things. We've got Merryweather here. We paired it with the Bernheim, and we're real pleased with that one. I think the light airiness that goes with that, you've got kind of a real, light grassy Virginia that's just real clean and easy on your palate. And I thought the Bernheim was real complimentary of that.
All right. No, yep. I can definitely see the two going well. Merryweather, of course, a beautiful blend, that has been here for some time. I want to like this. I feel like I like it a little bit better near the end of the glass here.
Yeah.
Such as
there's
this.
Probably reason for that.
Right?
Don't you think?
Yeah, that's
once you get to the bottom of a glass of anything, don't you think more warmly and fondly of pretty much anything that you're
Depends on what it is. Honestly, the other day I was having a blueberry beer for the first time.
That sounds foul.
It's awful.
Yeah.
The further down I got, the more I hated it.
Well, and you know, let's be fair to like, I've had some of those, flavored beer. I guess you call them flavored. They're like, the lemon beer. What do they call that? A shanty or whatever? Like,
never had one of those.
Some of those are pretty good. You know, I just don't know a whole lot about beer, to be honest, but yeah, you know, I think some of those are okay, but yeah, the blueberry.
It was foul.
That sounds foul.
It was foul. All right. Yep. But I did clear out the glass for our next beverage.
Our next one.
Now,
okay.
Did you already mention who recommended this particular
whiskey? No, this is a good fit, a good recommendation from our friend Stephen Blassingame, who lives here in Jackson and a loyal friend of the Country Squire, one of my personal really close friends. And, anyway, he recommended we give this a shot because it'd be something kind of out in left field that no one's maybe tried before.
Yeah, so, great recommendation.
Really good from him.
Not for me.
Not for you.
But this next one's really interesting too because this also comes from a friend of the shop and in fact a listener.
Dedicated listener of Country Squire Radio. This is cool. So I was in this shop in December and had a guy pop in and his name is Craig. And Craig is from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Craig was from Minneapolis, Minnesota, because now him and his wife live in an Airstream trailer. They sold their house. They live full time in an Airstream trailer and travel the entire United States going from place to place, and that is their full-time home.
Dude!
And they made a point in their Airstream, and if you saw on Instagram or whatever, we had a pipe pilgrimage with Craig, but
right.
They made a point to come through Jackson just because they wanted to come visit the country squire.
In my mindset, I think of Airstream as that kind of metal.
That's the metal kind of, you know.
Looks like a radio, right?
Looks like
a,
like an old toaster or something.
Yeah, like an old toaster.
It's got such a dedicated following. There are whole parks across America that only Airstream trailers can actually be
in. Was it out front?
No, he actually, there's a state park like really close by, and so he kind of parked it out there, but he showed me a lot of pictures of it and all this stuff and places they'd been. And literally, I mean, when you're living on the road, like, you know, and this is kind of your retirement gig, like, you know, your home is wherever you want it to
be. Dude, rocking the nomadic lifestyle.
Yeah, it's incredible. So, but anyway, I really enjoyed, getting to know, Craig and his wife, and, it was a lot of fun. But when Craig was here in December, he was like, I've got a bourbon that I'm going to bring you, and I want you to try it. And you can only get it, back in the Midwest. So next time I come through, I'm going to bring you some. And so I was like, okay, that's great. You know, thinking, I mean, who gets to just pass back through Jackson, Mississippi, like on a whim?
I mean, if you're going between Memphis and New Orleans, but beyond that, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Right. Yeah. So, but Craig, I mean, he, you know, they live in their Airstream trailer. And so he came back through just, you know, a couple months later and brought us a bottle of this. This is all we have left
because he made me promise
to give you some, Bo.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you so much, brother.
And so our friend Craig McHenry, he gives us this Border Small Batch Distilled Straight Bourbon Whiskey. This is from, it's from Wisconsin, and it's on the corner.
It's on the
very edge of Wisconsin and Minnesota. Now, it's interesting. When you hear bourbon, you think Kentucky. So,
right.
So there's kind of a understanding that if it's called bourbon, it has to be made in Kentucky.
I was under the assumption that was the case.
That's right. So a lot of folks think that, but bourbon, when it's called bourbon, it actually just has to be made mostly of corn. It's the corn percentage on bourbon. It's not the location, but it's the corn percentage as opposed to other things that we talked about earlier, like wheat with the bourbon. Yeah. So with the Border, this is made by the 45th Distillery Company, and I'm sorry, 45th Parallel Distillery Company, and it's a really small family-owned outfit on the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Okay.
And these are two states I'm not familiar with. I've never been anywhere near there. But what I understand is this is the same parallel. So 45th Parallel, you think of like, you know, the equator and then the North Pole. And the 45th is literally halfway between the two, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I thought
that's kind of fascinating. So what's interesting though, in addition to that, is that it's the same, essentially the same parallel that, that the Bordeaux and, you know, kind of wine region in France is located on. And so it's kind of that same parallel.
Interesting.
But just a different kind of, you know, obviously different climate, so a different genre, but they can kind of, you know, claim that kinship there.
That's
so
crazy. All right.
Kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
But, really beautiful bottle, super small batch stuff. This stuff is actually the proof and the alcohol, by volume content was actually handwritten on this bottle.
I was going to ask you, can I keep the bottle?
Just really, you know what? I think Craig would be very honored.
I would love to keep the bottle. Yeah, that'd be great.
And it's got just a real handsome, kind of leather ribbon around the neck, and it was wax covered as well. So anyway, I'm going to pop this open and let you have the rest.
Well, you got to get a little bit, right?
Yeah, maybe just a little bit.
You know, before I drink this, I need to make reference to the night that I went to go see Pirates of the Caribbean. Because I saw two movies in one night, and I saw them back to back.
This is like back in like 2003 or something?
Maybe even before then.
Yeah.
So I saw Pirates of the Caribbean right after watching a movie called League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was so terrible that I wasn't sure just like I loved Pirates of the Caribbean so much, but I realized it was coming off of just this really, really awful experience.
Yeah.
All that to say, this is probably going to be the best bourbon I've ever tasted.
Nothing to say for people that don't like Bernheim, but
No. I'm not criticizing Bernheim. I think I'm trying.
No, you are, and that's okay.
I'm trying to criticize more wheat whiskey.
Wheat whiskey.
But to be fair, Bernheim's the only one I've ever had, so that's technically a good point.
Fair enough. So anyway, we're coming off wheat whiskey more into a bourbon realm here.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, I'm home. Oh, I am home.
The bite's there, right?
This is what whiskey's supposed to taste like.
There's a
it tastes like bourbon.
Well, right. It tastes like bourbon, right? So you've got corn and you know, there's a smokiness to it. The bite's certainly there. It's sweeter. It's certainly a sweeter whiskey. And you know, it's one of those that it just probably has a little more complexity to it, I would think.
Yeah. That's, complexity is interesting because I think the last one was a little bit devoid of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, absolutely.
The Border whiskey, this is obviously super small batch. So they do everything, by hand up there. They do all the barrels are charred right there on site and they age them 3 years before they put the stuff in them. And, it's just a real, craftsmanship style product that they make. But, it's one of those things that it just kind of gives you a really nice, clean flavor. It's very sippable, but it's still got the kind of signature bourbon bite to it that you constantly look for when you drink a bourbon.
Yeah, no, this is excellent. Yeah. I mean, it's excellent. You know, it's funny actually. So when I was getting instructed on how to drink bourbon,
yeah,
or how to taste bourbon, I should say,
yeah,
one of the things that was being frowned upon is kind of sniffing it.
Really?
Yeah. Because the idea is that I guess that, typically bourbon especially has such a kind of a pungent, kind of burn the nostrils type of impact when you sniff it.
Yeah.
That it can actually mess up your taste buds when you're actually trying to gather up different textures from the actual bourbon itself.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I still do it just because I kind of like the burn a little bit,
There's an acidity they call it a medicinal type quality that kind of when it gets in your nose, you can appreciate it in a different way. But,
I like it.
It's good. It definitely has a little bite, but it's definitely not, when I say bite, I've said it a few times now and I don't want to, come across as something that's more, of a bad thing. Like,
no,
this is someone that's used to drinking wild turkey. So bite is like,
compared to other, actually I would draw a similarity here to maybe even a Buffalo Trace.
Like Buffalo Trace or maybe even Woodford. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Something that's just, it's definitely has that, the body to it, but it's not nearly as jaw puckering.
Oh my gosh. This is delicious. Thank you, Craig.
It's really good. Yeah, Craig, and it's extremely sippable, which we really appreciate. So, but man, we're so glad you brought it by.
Doing right. What did you pair up with?
Got an interesting pair for this tonight. Now, this I thought was a fascinating mixture. And as I thought about kind of where we were going to go with this, I was real, real pleased with how this came out. But, we are going to pair this with Davidoff Scottish mixture. Now, if you are familiar with Davidoff, the brand Davidoff. Davidoff obviously is well known for their cigars. Now, these are some of the literally the best cigars in the entire world. These are
Davidoff.
And if you open a Davidoff account as a tobacconist, you've got to make an initial order of probably $50,000 worth of inventory. Okay. This is wholesale prices, not retail prices.
Right.
So, Davidoff is one of those that like, if they're going to come let you carry their product, like they're going to come in your shop with a white glove and like kind of, dust the top of things and like, check the moisture content and in the humidor and all these things. Like they're just extremely particular because they're, just such a, exquisite top shelf company. But, so they're well known for their cigars,
sure,
but they also make pipe tobaccos and, the pipe tobacco is something they're not as, well known for yet, but it's something that they have in their, kind of lineup and are very good. I've had several of their mixtures, but this is the Davidoff Scottish mixture. It says a delicate Scottish blend, Davidoff special selection of first class tobaccos. This is a they call it a Scottish mixture, and I think it lives up to its name. It's one of those that has a kind of a Virginia component. You look at the layers of or the leaves of tobacco here, and you've got a lot of light colored, medium colored stuff, but then there's those darker leaves that, kind of linger through. It's all, ribbon cut, which is kind of nice. You see a few, kind of flakier chunks in there that look like it might be something more ready rubbed, but, I'm gonna let you give this a smell. Tell me what you think.
You know, I'm so proud of myself because I feel like I can pick up the Virginia now.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have that ability before. Is this one of your go-tos or?
It's not one of my go-tos, but it's something I discovered, semi-recently, which I've really enjoyed. The Davidoff Scottish mixture, when you think of Scottish mixtures, you think of something that, it's got a peatiness to it that comes from the Latakia, but then in the background on it, you've got these, the peatiness from the Latakia is kind of in the background, but then the Orientals there are more up front with the Virginia tobaccos. And I think this is just real indicative of that.
Smells absolutely delicious. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. The tin itself, in terms of just the packaging, very no nonsense. I mean, it's
real basic
green stamp on a gold tin. Yeah. And, their logo, and that's about it. Honestly, there's not a whole lot of pageantry around it, but I mean to some extent the tobacco sounds like it speaks for itself. Definitely has a great tin note to
it's really nice. Yeah, I enjoyed it because it kind of gives a, you know, when I was thinking about the pair here, you've got like a Virginia bite to it. There's a Virginia bite, but it's certainly mellowed out by some of the, I think, the darker Virginias, and then you also have the Latakia and then Orientals that kind of bring up the background, which makes it more of a complex blend. So I don't know. I thought it paired nicely with the Border whiskey, and I was glad to be able to do that.
So you get Border in the Midwest?
This is a whiskey I believe that's only available. It's in kind of that Midwest area, certainly in Wisconsin and Minnesota. These are whiskeys that this whole brand,
Michigan?
The 45th parallel, this is just in that area up there. So, in Michigan, I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Beardcore, if you're listening, tweet in, let me know.
Yeah, check it out. If you get on some craft bourbon, review sites and, fan sites and all that stuff.
Excellent pairing, man.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was really happy with this one. And we appreciate, obviously, Craig dropping that by. Man, just traveling the country and making a point to bring us this really good bottle of bourbon. And I thought it went well with the Davidoff Scottish mixture. I was very pleased with that.
That's good. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, Craig, you are awesome. Thank you so much. And I'm not saying that, like, every single time anybody makes a pipe pilgrimage, they should bring us some sort of whiskey or bourbon that is,
native to their area, maybe.
Yeah,
But we're certainly not opposed to it.
We're not going to be opposed to it. Just make sure that you make John David promise that he'll save me some.
Because, right.
You know, as anyone who is who's been at the Squire for any stretch of time knows, there's a secret stash that is not secret at all. Like I left a bottle of scotch back there for a week and it's almost completely gone.
That's how it works.
I drank
yeah.
about a glass and, it's nothing to it.
At some point at the Squire, we're going to actually have lockers up here. So, folks can rent their own space and kind of keep their own stuff. A lot of bigger tobacconists have done this where, you pay a yearly fee and you kind of have this little locker that you can put your stuff in. And that way, Bo, your stash will be safely under lock and key.
Yeah, we know
for a price.
We know there's someone who's going to figure out a way to get past that.
We do.
We won't name names here.
We will not speak his name on air.
Man, well, excellent pairing. I love doing the Squire Selects. Those are a blast.
Do you think people listen to these episodes and are kind of like, they're not normally like this?
There is a...
Do you think there's an element of that?
Absolutely.
There's just a little something different about the Squire Select episode.
There's a little something different about this episode as well. In fact, there's actually a little something different about the way that we are kind of approaching things in terms of the structure of the show.
That's right.
It's going to be familiar enough for you that it probably won't throw many of you off, but you may notice a little bit of tweaking here and there this particular episode and going forward. That being said, let me tell you about the pipe sponsoring this episode.
That's right. We're really thrilled by the pipe sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, look, we've got a wonderful pipe from Missouri Meerschaum that's actually sponsoring this episode, and that is the Legend.
The Legend corncob pipe from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum. The Legend, actually, Bo, of all the cob pipes that we sell at the Squire, and certainly we only carry Missouri Meerschaum products in the corncob section, but the Legend is our best selling, pipe by far. We've always made a point to carry them. Actually, I was embarrassed today because someone came in and asked for one and I was out of them because I'd sold my last one on Saturday. They just regularly flow out of the shop. Yeah. And, we're very proud of that. But, the Legend corncob pipe, if you think of, basically what your basic corncob pipe is, just a really good value. It's one of those, it's got a real clean line, a classic look.
I was about to say, classic is about how I would definitely describe the overall look and feel to it.
That's right. And they've got an amber stem, which is really nice. So it kind of sets it off as something that, even though, it's a corncob pipe, people have, kind of a idea in their mind what that's going to look like. But the amber stem, I think, really makes a nice statement. So, we've sold tons of them over the years at the Country Squire, and, we're proud to continue to carry them.
It's a good mid-sized pipe. If you've never gotten a corncob pipe before, this is kind of a good entry level into those style of pipes. So check it out. And if you happen to have a Legend pipe, rock it, take your pictures, tweet them in. We love getting those. throughout the week. You know, especially with any sponsored products or any products sponsoring the show, that's a great way to show your support and let them know how much you appreciate them sponsoring the show.
That's right.
Pipe question of the week.
My question of the week this week, it comes in from listener Jay, who writes, I've noticed that when I smoke several bowls in a row, my mouth gets really dry and the tobacco loses its flavor. I feel like I'm just sucking hot air. Is that normal? I only ask because it's not very pleasant, and I can't imagine it happens to everybody or no one would smoke.
Well, Jay, I think this is a fair question, and I certainly understand where you're coming from. You know, the key is here, you've got smoking several bowls in a row. Now, I don't know if you're a newer or, you know, a more experienced pipe smoker, but, you know, when your tongue is exposed to heat for that long, eventually you are just going to start tasting heat. You know, that's what I constantly tell new pipe smokers. With new pipe smokers, you have this sense of, you know, they constantly complain about tongue bite.
Yeah.
And so if you're having to relight your pipe over and over, you're more or less eventually just tasting heat, and that's because your tongue is burned. And so, you know, essentially, you know, if you smoke several bowls, you're basically experiencing kind of a tongue bite that has, you know, just taken place over maybe a longer period of time. So, you know, there is a sense in which you really do have to rest your, not just your pipe, but also your tongue. I mean, I think that's part of it. You know, for me, if I smoke slowly enough throughout, you know, the day, if I continually smoke my pipe throughout the day, one bowl after another, as long as I'm smoking slowly, as long as I'm puffing slowly and, not just in a real, you know, furious effort to, you know, finish the bowl, then I can enjoy several bowls back to back to back. But you really do have to puff more slowly. That heat, as it's, regularly exposed to your tongue, you know, combined with whatever maybe sugars are in the tobacco or if there's some casing product, you know, it's just eventually going to make your tongue feel kind of like sandpaper, you know. And so that goes for a new pipe smoker. That goes for one bowl, multiple bowls, experienced pipe smoker, all over the map. So, you know, I think, you know, if you are going to smoke several bowls in a row, you want to be sure to puff slowly. And remember that when you're smoking your pipe, you're not trying to hurry through a bowl. The tobacco is cheap. You know, let's think about it. Let's put it back in perspective. Like, you know, yeah, we, you know, kind of grit our teeth when we order another, you know, 12 dollar, you know, tin of tobacco or, you know, from the Country Squire, a $10 2 ounce bag or something like that of tobacco. And, there is that sense of, man, it's another $10. It's another, you know, $12. But like, you know, overall, you think about how much it costs for you to fill that bowl of your pipe up with tobacco. It's just not that expensive. So the goal, in my opinion, is not for you to rush through the tobacco just so you can say you smoked it, but you want to enjoy it. You really want to take your time and enjoy it. That's the point, you know, of pipe smoking, really, is it forces you to slow down. It forces you to get in that cadence and that rhythm, which, you know, really appreciates you kind of taking your, or helps you appreciate kind of taking your time. And so, anyway, I would just really encourage you to, you know, take your time puffing, puff slower. And, you know, if that means you, you know, smoke fewer bowls throughout the day, I think that would be, you know, good for you. And, I think you'll enjoy your tobacco more, and I think you'll taste more flavor as opposed to more heat.
Yeah, moderation is key. And I mean, there might be some folks that disagree with this mindset, but you know, it's kind of like alcohol. For myself, if I find myself where I'm just
drinking, counselor says, "Speak for self."
Thanks.
Speak for self.
That's very good. If I find myself where I'm just drinking the beer just to drink the beer and not really kind of appreciate the fact that it is beer and the flavor that's there and just to the overall, you know, experience, then I don't know that I should be drinking any more beer at that point. Similar with the pipe. If I'm at the point where like my next bowl is just burning my tongue up,
yeah,
it's probably a good indication that I don't need to be smoking right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So moderation is key. You know, balance is important. And, you know, whatever that is, it's going to be different for different people for sure. But
yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole school of thought about the concept of being present and being mindful with what you're doing. And, you know, there's a book written by a local guy here in Jackson, and he talks about, in the book, washing the dishes. You know, when we think of washing the dishes, we think, okay, I'm going to wash the dishes so I can hurry up and wash these dishes so I can move on to the next thing. You know, I'm going to wash the dishes so I can, you know, go, sit on the couch and, you know, do this or, you know, watch TV or, you know, play with my dog or whatever. But like, you know, the concept of mindfulness and being present, like you're washing the dishes so you can wash the dishes. Like when you're washing the dishes, like you want to do a good job at washing the dishes. So like when I'm washing the dishes, like my focus is going to be on this and it's going to be on doing it well, which I think is kind of interesting. Like, do any of us look forward to washing dishes? Like, probably not. But like there's that sense in which we're going to do this and we're going to do it well. And, you know, when you're smoking your pipe, that's the idea is you're smoking your pipe to smoke your pipe. Like you're not smoking it to, you know, get somewhere or to, receive necessarily anything. Like the point of smoking your pipe is to smoke your pipe. So, you know, take your time, you know, give yourself that break and that ability to just really, you know, kind of dig in and enjoy it. And I think as you puff slowly and, just real, you know, with a methodical, kind of cadence to it, I think it'll really reward you.
Excellent question, Jay. Really appreciate that. And, hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week for us, send it in csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
All right, quick fire questions. We've got a New Orleans edition.
Oh, man, that's great.
Yes, sir. Okay, this actually comes in from Parker Brunson, who says, po' boy or muffaletta?
Muffaletta.
Po' boy.
You got to go with a po' boy?
Yeah, muffalettas really? Are just, I don't like olives.
You don't like the olive salad.
I mean, like, that muffaletta is olives.
The muffaletta, you get the ham, and there's all kinds of cheese, yeah. And then you've got this delicious olive, green olive, like, salad that's on there. You gotta go with the muffaletta.
Yeah, I hate the olives, and I hate the salami, because typically you find some salami or some pastrami or something like that. It's just absolutely. Not my favorite.
Okay, I'm not a fan. Fair enough.
Beignet or praline?
Beignet.
These two things are not, you can't, like, they're not the,
We have to pick because we've been requested to pick.
No, I get it. I'm just saying that these are not as head to head. Like po' boy versus muffaletta is a little bit more head to head.
That's a fair, right.
Gosh. I mean, beignet.
I mean, there's a time and a place for a praline, right?
Sure.
And a praline, if you're not familiar, and some people say praline, I guess.
Yeah,
but praline,
thing.
You know, you've got kind of this caramelized sugar. With pecans typically, are in there, and they're so fine. It's this real crunchy kind of candy, but yeah, you know, they're a beignet. That's good for any day. I mean, gosh, you can
any
make
day,
it
anytime.
You can make an excuse to eat that for breakfast.
Yep.
I mean, golly,
right?
You know, literally,
that's how it's marketed. Absolutely,
yeah.
Sazerac or Hurricane?
Hurricane.
So
I'm that guy. I love a Hurricane.
I'm not a fan of either of these. I know you like a Hurricane. I was with you on Oh, no. I bailed on you on bourbon. Like, let's go get a Hurricane. It's like, nope, that's where I call it a night. Although, I got to say, I'm not really a fan of Sazerac, but if I had to choose between the two, I would go with Sazerac.
Okay, that's fair. Hurricane is like one or two fruity drinks that I really enjoy. Like, I love
one or two fruity drinks.
I mean, there's no other one out there. But like, I'm just saying, I love a Hurricane. Hurricanes are delicious.
All right. Gumbo or jambalaya?
Gumbo.
Definitely gumbo.
It's got to be the right gumbo.
We talked about this on the show.
Yeah. I mean, now Bo, you are a gumbo king. I mean, like,
you call me a snob.
You're a gumbo snob. This is a person that I'm sitting next to here recording this podcast with that's actually won a local gumbo competition
in the Podastery studio. It is right there next to the recording studio.
Yeah, you've got a trophy for this. It's incredible. So, Bo, you know gumbo, and gumbo, you know, there's obviously certainly really bad gumbo, just like there's really bad anything. But like good gumbo, it's hard to find any southern dish that is better than that. That's a really tall order to come, you know, to say that, but I'm confident in saying it.
You know,
if it's good gumbo, that's some of the best food you'll find in the South.
I'll put it this way. Anyone can make a gumbo, but there are very few people out there that can make a great gumbo.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. When you find like the good stuff,
right.
You never want to go back. So yeah, gumbo all the way. Zydeco or Jazz?
Jazz. I'm sorry. That's cute. Like, we can laugh about Zydeco and, like, you know, how interesting it is.
You just called Zydeco cute?
I did. I called it cute. Like, you got to go with jazz.
Dude is playing a washboard. You just called his art form cute.
You can't understand half the stuff they're saying. I just remember, like, on my way, like, when I was a kid, Dad and I would drive from Jackson, Mississippi to Houston, Texas to visit my relatives that live there. Lots of family in Houston. I was born in Houston, just have a lot of connections to that city. And so as we were passing through South Louisiana, I'd always be like, "Hey Dad, let's listen to that music. Let's listen to that music." And he's like, "Okay." And so we turn on the radio and find that one station that was playing that horrendous Zydeco music. I know my loving father just stomached it for me just so the little kid could have his day.
But experience a little New Orleans culture.
But now I understand, maybe some of the frustration.
You're wrong.
You gotta go with jazz.
Look, I'll give you this though. If I am in New Orleans.
Yeah.
We're doing something that is kind of distinctly Louisiana, like a crawfish boil or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose Zydeco.
Okay, that's fair.
Almost every time. But if you're talking about just me baseline, yeah, okay, I'm going to go jazz.
Yeah, let's say you're, in and around your home and are doing some work and want to listen to some music, like, you're not just going to pop on Zydeco.
No, you're right. Well, unless I'm cooking like some gumbo. Yeah. That's fair.
Good questions.
Parker, excellent quick fire questions. But whenever you talk about New Orleans, I mean, it's going to get personal. It's going to get personal. That's just part of it. All right, man. This episode is not just brought to us, not just sponsored by a pipe. It's also sponsored by a tobacco.
That's right.
Look, this is the greatest thing when your pipe and your tobacco meet. A special things happen. The tobacco that we have meeting the pipe today is
Orlick Dark Strong Kentucky. That's right. We're so proud to have them as sponsors. And, as our loyal listeners know, we only like to have products that we really, really believe in.
That's right.
And so Dark Strong Kentucky from Orlick, it's one of those that it's just got a nice full body to it. When you open the tin, it's just filled with that burley that's kind of got that peppery spice to it, a smokiness that is just really nice, but easy on your tongue, lots of natural sweetness, and just really pleasant.
I mean, the great thing is we've been mentioning Orlick Dark Strong Kentucky for a couple of episodes now. We've got some great feedback, actually, from one of our listeners who wrote in. This is actually from the YouTube channel. Level 18 Leather Belt, who wrote in saying it's a very delicious blend. So, if any products that we mentioned on the show, we love getting you guys feedback specifically about it. So definitely write in, send those in. But yeah, loving the DSK. Great stuff.
Delicious.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback as well comes in from the YouTube channel. You want to read that first one?
Listener feedback from Ralph on YouTube. He says, "I had a chance to go climb to the top of the temple at Chichen Itza in the early 90s. They no longer allow you to do so now, but the place was a blast. However, the ruins in Taikau, Guatemala are considered the New York City of the Mesoamerican civilization. It's so big that it's frightening." So, really cool. We've got some folks that after our last episode kind of chimed in on some of these different places that I know we talked about in a quick fire with the Squire session. So good. Thank you so much, Ralph.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome feedback. We also got an iTunes review in from Jonas. Do you mind reading this one as well?
No, not a bit. Jonas 552 on iTunes. He says, "Like a warm summer breeze to start off, I don't smoke and I only found this podcast from being fans of the Podastery, the other Podastery podcast." Bo, you can go ahead and raise the roof. It's okay. I thought I would give this podcast a try, while working around the house. After about 45 seconds, I was roped in. There was just a different vibe coming off this podcast. Both Bo and JD are so positive and pleasant with every topic they talk about. Not going to lie, I would listen to JD read from one of my college textbooks.
Yes!
That is terrifying. His his voice is perfect for podcasting and was a pleasant surprise to hear the awesomely podcasted voice of Bo being paired with JD. What a dynamic duo of podcasting. Listening to these two is like being transported to a porch in the summer, sipping back on some cool lemonade and enjoying the weather. I now put the podcast on when I lay in the hammock to drown out the noise from traffic, and I'm able to enjoy my time. This podcast was one I thought I would have no interest in, but it has quickly become one of my favorites. No matter what they talk about, I always feel better after listening to the podcast. Keep up the great work, Bo and JD." Man, Jonas 552, high praise, dude. Thank you so much.
His name is Jonas. No. You're thinking that's because of a Squire Select. Let me explain.
I don't.
Jonas, when I, this is one of these, when I was combing through our iTunes reviews, and,
yeah,
and you know, we kind of scroll through them and pick one out as they kind of roll in.
Yeah.
And when I saw his iTunes handle, I was so excited because his, like, I'd recognized his iTunes handle before from another show that we had done on Podastery.
Yeah.
We actually sang him a song. We did a parody of his name is Jonas from Weezer.
Yeah, okay.
About him specifically, in an effort to try to get him to give us a better review. So I got a kick when I saw that he is he's
That's
also
great.
Listening to Country Squire Radio.
And no, now he's a fan. He doesn't even smoke a pipe.
Doesn't
That's
even
great.
Smoke a pipe, man. Look, Podastery, it's everything that I do is in such silos, you know, like
right.
There's no reason necessarily why there would be much overlap because they're also very niche focused. But Jonas, man, glad you found your way over here. Thank you so much. That was a great review.
That was really great.
Look, we always love getting feedback from you guys. It's a wonderful way to help out the show. When you go over to iTunes and write us a review, love getting the comments on the YouTube channel. For those of you who are tuning in through YouTube, that's awesome as well. The tweets, the Facebook messages, all of that. It's a great way to kind of engage with us throughout mm-hmm. the week. We really, really appreciate it. You all can also follow us individually on Twitter as well. You can follow me at The Real Beau York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at underscore Country Squire.
And of course, the show's Twitter handle is at Squire Radio. Several of you have been actually tweeting in tonight. It's been great seeing your feedback from there. New Orleans is 100% jazz, bro. This is what Russ Hicks.
Yeah, Russ also says Zydeco is totally cute, which I mean, come on. And Portland Paul at the Subcon agrees that this is a whiskey lag that we're experiencing tonight.
Yeah, okay, a little bit.
You know, and
I'll grant it.
Yeah, we've got several other really handsome comments.
Bradley also on Twitter tweets that he actually. His doctor, the love doctor, he took a picture of his screen with us on it.
Yeah.
And he is smoking up some a Peterson St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a gorgeous pipe, by the way.
That tobacco is really a big hit last year. We were really, really happy and hated when we ran out of that stuff. It was really good.
Yeah. Look, this kind of engagement is crucial, not just during the live show, but for those of you who are tuning in on your podcast, if you happen to be listening to us to the podcast through the Satchel podcast player.
Yeah.
One of the great things is you can actually tweet us directly. The player itself has a little tweet button. You can send us feedback so that as you're listening to us, you can kind of be part of the conversation, even though it is in a bit of a delayed format. We love getting that. You can also, you know, do great things with the Satchel podcast player, like support the podcast that you're listening to by sending him a few dollars. Helps keep the lights on, helps us buy more Squire Select whiskeys, which is always good as well. And hey, if you happen to make your pipe pilgrimage, like I said, feel free to just drop off any brown water you want to, and that'll make its way onto a future Squire Select. Big thanks to Craig.
That's right.
For helping us out this particular episode. And for all of our contact information and more, head over to CountrySquireRadio.com.
Yep.
Man.
This was fun. I always have a good time.
Dude, great episode, great topic.
It's always a lot of fun when we get recommendations and you know, feedback from listeners directly. But obviously the border stuff, it was such a neat gift to get from Craig. Bringing it all the way back home from Minnesota, down here to the South. And, we're just really pleased with that. And I think both pairings went well tonight.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Now, we've got a bit of a unique situation going on the live show right now. We've got the peanut gallery outside the shop actually causing a commotion.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, so our live studio audience is going to see exactly what's going on out here. You know, a unique situation, of course, with the live show. This is definitely how the sausage is made. And, you know, taking it out of the studio and into the shop opens up to a lot of potential variables, as I like to say. This is certainly one of them. Briar, what's the situation over there? Are you all right? Okay, well,
tonight's not the night.
Tonight's not the night.
Yeah, I hate to say that. Yeah, it's just not. It's not, tonight's not the night.
Yeah.
So anyway,
is he is a listener? Is that the thing?
I think he literally was just.
I mean, if he's a listener, I'd say let's bring him in and sit him down. But if he's just looking for a cigar,
and he's a cigar guy.
I mean, I was gonna let you say it. I wasn't gonna say it.
I smoked one earlier today. It's okay.
All right, back on.
Yeah. So anyway, we've got Bo's making a mess. Is that the second time you've dropped premium whiskey like on set?
I would drink it off the table if it wasn't. This wasn't the most disgusting table in the world.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, it's just laced with the most excellent tobacco droppings that you could
Look,
have
man,
ever
no,
imagined.
No, it's not the tobacco droppings. It's the ash that I'm concerned about. Oh my gosh, that takes party foul. It's like a party sin. Honestly, that's rough.
You've
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.